All right, there we go. Hey, it is Saturday, March 22nd. My name is Bromo. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 2-17-09. I am honored to have this podcast. This is episode number 41. I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. After people hear my story, which I've told 1,000 times, and I'll tell it again, my true strength of this podcast is my guests, are my guests. This is called There Is a Way Out. This is designed for anybody out there who maybe be on the fence, who maybe have some friends, family members, whoever, who think that, you know, they can listen to some stories on my podcast of people who have gone through it themselves. We all still go through it. And my guest is another powerful person that I've never really met in San Diego, of course, where I worked for years. He was a avid listener of the show I was on. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Broma. How are you holding out today?
I am very well. Thank you, man. First of all, for coming on. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Andy Denzine is his name. And again, we met probably through There Is a Way Out, my Facebook page, by the way, which is open for anybody who wants to send me an invite. It's an open group for those who want to support others, and who, you don't have to be an alcoholic or anything like that. You could just want to go on and just give some love and some support to people. Is that how we met, Andy?
That's how we met, yes. But like I said, I've known you for years via your radio show out of San Diego.
Well, you saw me. So I was on a radio show. I was for a long time, and I was the guy that you would see, literally, you would see out in the streets paying off a golf bet payoff wearing a thong
or
whatever. And those were the days I drank. And real quick on my part, when you were listening to the show, did you know that I had a problem back then, or could you detect anything?
No, I had no clue. But then again, I was also in the whole rampage of my addiction as well. So I just thought you were being normal.
Well, I was trying to be as semi-normal as I could.
Yeah. No.
wearing a thong and going into Walmart and buying cucumbers and condoms, if that's as normal as you can get. Andy.
Yeah, those are different days.
I'm impressed about the how I came across Andy, if I can say this real quick, Andy. And the reason why I wanted to put him on real quick is because a couple days ago, he posted on our Facebook page, There Is a Way Out. What did you say, Andy, specifically?
I don't exactly remember the exact quote, but I believe it was somewhere along the lines of, unfortunately, I had to restart my day count after 4.5 years.
That's it. That's it. You did. And so he put that out there. And like so many people on this There Is a Way Out Facebook page, immediately shot out support. Hey, man.
The love was unreal, yeah.
Isn't that something? The love was for real. And it is for real. This is why it's so cool to be on this page. Because when we are going through it, when we have fallen, we need the support. So I called him up immediately, and he was so kind to me last night. He told me about a support group that you had and that you were doing okay. But you had said something to me that really struck a chord. You said, you know what? I just blew 4.5 years. And you said it was such pain. But then just a second or two after, you said, well, I got to restart. And that's exactly how you do it.
There's nothing else I can do. I'm not going to sit here in my own self-pity. I learned that through the program. If you sit there and dwell on your own self-pity, you're not going to go anywhere.
Okay, first of all, you relapsed. What was the day? When did you relapse? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm sure God. You do. I don't remember the exact day. It's been a while, though.
Okay. So yours was alcohol, correct? Your poison?
Correct. That was my main problem, yes.
Okay, so you were sober for 4.5 years. Now, let me ask
correct.
You this. And this is what is so baffling to anybody that goes through what we go through. And maybe for those who don't understand it, this is the baffling part. How did, out of nowhere, you decided, let me try it again?
Well, God, I don't want to say it like this, but my dog that I dearly loved, we had to put her down
at
a It was
oh.
Yeah, she was attacked by another dog, and we had to put her down because she was just in so much pain, and I couldn't watch my dog go through that. So we had to put her down, and then my mom and dad, they're not doing all that great, and I was driving out to Arizona one day by myself, and I was like, you know what? I don't think a couple's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And, well, a couple turned into several months of daily drinking.
Say that again. Say that last sentence again from the start. You said you're driving alone. You thought, yeah, you know what, a couple just to put me on the feeling good and taking some of my emotions away, that won't hurt.
Yes.
Tell me that again.
It won't hurt. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I said a couple won't hurt, but that couple turned into 6 months of daily drinking.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing, Andy, and you've gone through the book. We've all gone through the book, and one of the stories I remember so well that we read in the program was the milk story, where the guy wanted to put a little thing in his milk, and he said, you know what?
Like, yeah, you never milk the whiskey or whiskey the milk, one of the two. Well, like, I forget exactly how the quote goes.
Yeah, he had been sober for 20-something years, and he thought to himself, you know, those blinking lights, drink me, drink me, drink me, and it looks so cool. Hey, man, one or two of these is not going to kill me, man. I've been great for 20 years. Doesn't matter.
Nope.
Doesn't matter, does it?
I learned that real fast.
So when you took your first drink, did you have any kind of guilt at all? Did you say to yourself, hey, man, I'm going to be able to do this?
Well, yeah, the guilt didn't kick in until I finished my first one.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how you felt about this, man, but the taste brought me back to good times. Good, good times.
Yeah.
But after I finished it, that taste brought me back to, oh, God, what have I done?
Yeah.
What have I done?
Oh, God, what have I done?
And, and I've been hiding it from my wife for a while, obviously. And then she busted me out last weekend.
How long have you been married?
She flat out said, so when did you start drinking again? I was like, shite.
Yep. How long have you been married, Andy?
I've been married almost 18 years now.
So she saw you go through the really, really awful times when you were drinking. Okay.
Oh, God, yes. Yes. In fact, when that happened, we were on vacation in Maine back in 2020 when COVID was really kicking off.
Yep.
And this is the first time. Well, not the first time. I can't say that because I met him prior to that. But her cousin, Aaron, and I got along like gangbusters. We're like brothers, right?
Yeah.
And basically what I did for 3 weeks was I went on a bender with her cousin. Now, I'm not saying that's on him. This is completely on me.
Of course.
But on the flight home, because basically I spent the whole 3 weeks of our family vacation hammered. And that's no way to spend time with your kids.
No.
So on the flight home, all the bars were closed in the airports and stuff like that, and I hadn't had a drink yet that day. And my wife noticed that I was shaking.
Yeah.
Like, badly. And of all places, the one place in Boston that was open at the airport was a Wahlburgers. Go figure. Yeah. And I got a couple Bud Lights there, and I had to double pick a glass up with both hands. Now, mind you, I'm not old, but I'm 53.
No, I know that. Yeah.
So this was, I shouldn't be shaking like that, and I know I can pick up a glass with one hand. But I couldn't pick it up with one hand because I was shaking so badly.
Yeah, here's the thing. So that, for those of you who have had the shakes, and I'm saying, for those of you who have the shakes now, listen to these words of Andy and myself. There is nothing worse in your mind and your body, and you know you have the shakes. And the only thing that will even help at all and cure the shakes for that moment is booze.
Yep. And once you get that first drink in you, you're like, here we go.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm normal.
Yeah, I used to do that,
but
Andy.
You're the farthest thing from normal.
Yeah, I used to do that. I would put my hand out so I could see it. I could see the shakes, and I'm like, okay, I got to get this first glass of straight vodka down, and then sit back, take a deep breath, and and feel literally so calm and go, okay, now I have to figure out what kind of food I'm going to force down my pie hole because I know I have to eat something.
There you go. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Food was not that important to me.
No, you know what? At that point, you know you have to have it, but you get the probably the easiest thing you could prepare, like a crappy TV dinner that'll microwave in 3 minutes.
Usually it was like a cheese sandwich or something.
Yeah, maul that as quick as possible, and that's all you want. Okay, so your wife.
Correct.
Your wife said to you, how long you been drinking? So you had relapsed, and you had tried to fake it for a couple days.
I thought I was slick as snot.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that something?
I was hiding it great, I thought.
Yeah.
But then again, in your addiction and your disease, you always think you are the smartest, coolest guy on the planet.
And
everybody can see right through the crap I'm feeding everybody.
All right, so you relapsed after 4.5 years. Into your second drink, you were starting to feel like, damn, I feel awful because I just burned 4.5 years. Tell everybody the process of how earlier your mind had said, hey, man, just 2 drinks. I'm going to be cool as hell. I'm going to be cool. 2 drinks, I'll continue my week, my day, whatever, and I'll be perfectly normal. Maybe I'll have a drink tomorrow, your mind is telling you, kissing you. Maybe you'll have a drink tomorrow. But about after those 2 drinks and you go into some more, you realize now you've gone right back to hell, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought this line was so corny when I was in the program at the beginning, you know, one is too many and 1,000 is not enough. What kind of BS is that? Just shut it. After you've gone for so long, what's one going to hurt?
Yeah.
And, well, I found out real dang quick that one is too many. And I don't think I've reached that 1,000 point yet, but I don't want to get there either. That's why I reached out to everybody.
When did your shakes come back?
I can't do this alone.
Yeah, no, you cannot. When did your shakes come back? Because I'll bet you they came back slowly, didn't they?
They came back within, I'd say, about a month and a half.
Jeez. So how long were you out for, Andy? How long did you go out for when you went out?
Well, technically speaking, my sobriety date will be tomorrow.
Okay.
Because, you know, I drank yesterday, and that was stupid again because a lot of weird things happened to me yesterday. I get a call from you out of nowhere.
Right.
I was like, that's just, whoa. You were a pretty big deal in San Diego for a while.
Well, I wouldn't say big deal, but people knew who I was.
Well, you were to me. Let's just put it that way.
Well, that's kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was having a good day. And then I got sent home from work for something that I don't think that was my fault. Because I'm a substitute custodian.
Okay.
And I guess I was supposed to go to a different campus, but I was never told to go to another campus. So the campus I was at sent me home.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, oh, God, what did I screw up again now?
Right.
So that's where my mind went to. You stupid idiot. You can't get anything right. What is wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. Poor me. So on the way home, I grabbed another beer. I was like, well, dang it.
When was your last drink, Andy?
Last night.
Okay, last night.
Correct.
What did you say to yourself on that last drink? Did you say to yourself, well, I got to start over tomorrow?
Yeah. Every night that I stop, every morning I wake up, okay, today's the day.
Yeah. Okay.
And then today's not that day.
Not that day. No, it's not.
Yeah, because I start getting the shakes again.
Yeah.
And like we just discussed, one is going to stop them shakes.
Now
that booze.
Tell me about your support group. You said you had a wonderful support group.
Oh, my God. When I got sober, I went to rehab in Newport Beach.
Okay. How long was the rehab, Andy?
It was 28 days.
Okay, so a spend dry place, okay?
Yeah, yeah. And this was during COVID, so there was no, in-person meetings. Everything was via Zoom. So I'm a Zoom baby when it comes to sobriety.
Yeah.
Well, I located this group called Isolators.
Right.
It's a perfect name for getting sobriety in alcoholics, because we all isolate.
Right.
I thought that group was just everything, because it was a rowdy group of guys, and I used to be kind of rowdy, and I didn't want the whole Bible thumping, God is great, God is this, and I understand God's got a lot to do with it, but at the same time, I'm not a uber religious guy, and the way these guys spoke, it was like how I spoke.
Sure.
There was a lot of F, yeah, man, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that jived with me. I went to that meeting 2.5 years every day at 6 o'clock, no matter what. If I was at work, I took my lunch. It didn't matter. I was going to that meeting.
Yeah.
And then I got a job at Palmerado Hospital, and I couldn't take an hour for lunch anymore. So I started, drifting away from the group. And the further I drifted, I was thinking, well, apparently I don't need these guys anymore.
That's how it goes.
And two years later, well, here I am. And the first people I reached out to were the isolators. And they just went, in fact, I believe it was last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I went on this, it's like an offspring of the isolators called Men of Aloha. It's basically the same group of guys, just more compact, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah, and then when I got on there, they're like, "Oh my God, Lefty's here! Oh my God, he's here!"
Yeah,
and they call me Lefty because I broke my right hand. But that's a whole other story. I did that when I was sober.
Anywho, yeah.
Okay. Anybody counting days? And I just went, "My name's Andy. I'm an alcoholic, and this is day one."
Day one. How did people treat you when you said that?
The chat exploded.
Yep.
Just exploded. And I feel bad for the gentleman who shared, because it was supposed to be his day, his moment.
Okay.
His meeting.
Yeah.
But once I came out, everybody poured their hearts out to me.
Okay, first of all, who says it was supposed to be his meeting? Was it?
No. What I'm saying is he was the guest speaker.
No, oh, I get it. Okay, so he was the main guy, but after he spoke, and
he was the one sharing that day.
Okay,
but
got
then,
it.
So I kind of felt like I stole his thunder.
No, you didn't.
But at the end of the meeting, he's like, "Geez, wow, that took balls, dude."
You know what? I guarantee you that guy learned a lot from what you did. I guarantee you. This is what we need. Everyone needs. Doesn't matter if you're 50 years sober. Anyone who comes out and says, "I drank yesterday," as you noticed from what everybody said to you on Facebook, there is a way out last night and into this morning. People want to come out and say right away, don't give up.
Nope. And I've got to stop kicking my own butt.
Well,
I have to.
You know something? That'll happen, Andy. I mean, yeah.
I mean, my wife and I, we're getting through it.
You know, whoever coined the phrase, "it is a selfish program," is right. It is a selfish program. It's on us. It's on you and I and me, all of us.
Right.
And when we have relapsed, it's a huge, frightening, eye-opening thing.
Yeah, I've never been through this before in my life.
What is what's your wife been telling you lately?
She's just been real supportive.
Good.
Had you called your sponsor, called the meetings, going to meetings.
Yep.
But she's not preachy.
Okay.
Which is, it's what I need. If you start preaching to me, I'm going to turn. I don't like being preached at.
I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean,
and there's different.
I'm not exactly the most well-spoken gentleman in the world.
No. Listen, there's different examples and there's different methods of when you go up and speak in front of a bunch of people. There are the people that go up.
Correct.
We call them the podium pounders or the thumpers. They'll go up. And it's almost like when you're sitting there, they're looking right at you and they're like dismantling your program by telling you what you're doing wrong and all of that. And that's not fun.
No. And I believe with my first sponsor, he was kind of like that. I mean, I love him to death, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the way we did it. Now, I did go through my 12 steps with him.
Yeah.
And he helped tremendously. It just wasn't the way I needed to go about it, in my opinion. But then again, my opinion is mine. And it's not right, wrong, or indifferent. It's just my opinion.
Well, guess what? You know, like if anyone else knows in the program, you know that you can have any kind of sponsor you want. You're okay to change sponsors at the drop of a dime to whatever makes you feel comfortable. Whatever you think you need. You know, you had someone take you through the steps. Perfect. But then, shifted gears, you needed someone else for another reason. And that's on you.
Correct. And I'm not saying the age gap was something to talk about, but he's a considerably older gentleman.
Sure.
But that doesn't make it right or wrong. I mean, like you just said, he and I just drifted apart, and it just wasn't working for us anymore.
So I have to get back. I have to get back to a couple things real quick, and then sorry. Sometimes if I appear like I interrupt, it's hard to gauge conversation when you're on a telephone and a microphone. You know.
Understood. But
what I wanted to ask you was, when you're into the mode of drinking, okay, and you've relapsed, and now it's come right back to your lifestyle. Are you thinking to yourself, and you know to yourself, this is not good. This is not the way my life should be. But I've got no control. I got no control.
That's the hardest part. The lack of control that I have over my my actions right now.
Right.
But I have control if I actually put my mind to it.
Yep.
And my mind is a scary place to be.
Well,
it's like every addict.
We all are. We all have those deep, deep caves of awfulness that goes on, and especially when you're torturing yourself, Andy, while you're drinking. You know that.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing about this too, Bruma. I haven't actually gotten drunk yet in my entire time of relapsing. I'll have two or three beers, and then I'll go about my business, and then several hours later, I'll have two or three more. Several hours later, two or three more.
Okay.
So I guess you'd call it, maintenance drinking, if that makes any sense.
Well, it does, but let me ask you this real quick. Let's just say someone comes up to you and goes, hey, I understand that, you know, you're in the program, or I've heard you say, others have said, you, this, that. Let me ask you this, Andy. I drink two or three beers a night, and they're telling you this, and they say to you, does that make me an alcoholic? To what you just told me a second ago as your maintenance thing, then why do you think you're an alcoholic, Andy?
Because I am an alcoholic.
Why?
I know that in my book. Because I can't stop now. That's all I think about during the day now.
Yeah.
Now, a normie can have a few beers, and it's fine.
Hold on.
I'm not normal.
Hold on real quick. First of all, I've had people hear me say that, and they're like, what did you just say? Tell everybody what a normie is, okay?
A normie is a person who can drink, and you put it down and go without it forever.
Yep.
I can't do that anymore.
I'll go into it further. A normie is a person you can go over to their house. Hi, normie. Let me open up your refrigerator, normie, and there's four beers in there, and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, you are a normie, because those would have been long gone.
Oh, yeah. See, that's another thing, too. Like, when we went to bars, when I used to go to bars, it blew me away that people would leave booze.
Yeah.
Finish it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm good. But you still have more.
Go back to what you were saying about how you know for sure you're an alcoholic. Why? Again.
Well, again, it's taken over my thought process. There's times of the day where I'd start drinking a beer, and my mind will start looking at the clock and going, okay, it's coming up to that time.
Yeah.
And I start getting anxious, excited, nervous. All the emotions go through my head, but once I get that one in me, hey!
Yeah. Oh, there's that. Oh,
I'm better now.
Yeah.
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 And that tells me right away that I have a serious issue with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
I just want to say this real quick. I do this from time to time. I want to tell everyone who's listening to this, I am not an expert. I don't have a degree. I didn't go to school for, I didn't get take any courses on this. I just have 16 years of experience of being sober. I also have a lot of experience in drinking. And and this is why I have this platform, because I want people to hear people like Andy, who just described a second ago how he feels he's different than a normie, and he described it to a T perfectly. And that's exactly what I want people to hear, because like you said, you've probably had people before say, "Hey, Andy, by the way, I drink two or three beers every night when I go home after work. Does that make me an alcoholic?" Now, when I get that same question, Andy, I run a couple through, because they if they want, they can go on Google and type in and see the test. And you've told me, you think about it. You drink maybe the first thing in the morning when you wake up. You drink on your days off. It affects your work. All those things, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely affects everything. Affects your entire aspect of life.
Yes. And it affects relationships, and it affects the way you look at relationships, and it affects the point where you make a decision. Should I stop drinking because I may lose this person because this person has told me, dude or dudette, you keep drinking, then we're going to have an issue and we're going to have serious problems. You may lose and, you know, things like that. And you choose the bottle. You choose the drink. No sweat.
My wife even brought up the big D word.
Yeah,
last
see?
Weekend.
Last
and
weekend.
That scared the ever-loving crap out of me.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah.
It should.
I would be lost without her.
Yeah.
Absolutely lost.
Yeah.
There's no two ways around it.
And here's the deepest hell you would be in. Imagine leaving as she says, "See you later." And there you are in a dark hole feeding yourself with more booze. And more.
I have two young daughters as well.
Yeah. What are their ages?
They're not young anymore. They're 15 and 12.
Do they see yourself as having a problem?
I have not told them yet.
Okay.
I told my stepson. He's 21.
Okay.
I told him. I came home a couple nights ago, and he happened to be coming home with his girlfriend. And I was like, "You know what? Screw it. Hey, Nick, I got something to tell you, dude."
Yeah.
He's like, "What?" He's like, "I relapsed." He's like, "What?"
Well, these kids have been around you a long time, Andy. Do they have any?
Yeah.
Do they have any thoughts of maybe, after watching you all these years, do they think, yeah, maybe you do have a problem?
Oh, they know I've had a problem.
Okay.
Because before I went to rehab, I was getting drunk on a nightly basis. I was killing a 30 pack every other day.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a hey, have a couple beers kind of guy. I was hey, if I'm going to start this, I'm going to end it, guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to end it until I pass out.
What'd you think of rehab when you were there? You said it was a.
It was interesting.
It was a.
It was interesting because, like I said.
Yeah.
I went during COVID.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
So you
it was scary.
You went somewhere or you stayed at home?
I went to Sierra by the Sea up in Newport Beach.
Okay, so you had a place. Did you have a roommate or anything like that?
There was a bunch of guys there.
Okay.
I was in detox for 6 days.
Oh, detox is just terrible.
Yeah, I think that's a whole other ballgame, but we won't get into that. And then you get sent over to the Sierra house. And you spend a couple weeks there,
yep.
And then you go over to the Neptune house. This is basically the Neptune house is the, okay, your program's almost done. Now you get to actually leave the house and go to another house. You get your phone back, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
And you just kind of ride out your last 2 weeks.
You know why?
And it was great.
You know why that sounds so familiar? Because I went to Pathfinders after I went to Freedom Ranch. Pathfinders is in Golden Hills. Pathfinders... And I'm hoping they still have the same structure. Pathfinders is a three-house deal where the first house you stay for 3 months, and you kind of graduate and you move right around the corner to the second house. You stay there for another 3 months. And then the third house, which is right next door to the first house, the third house is where you spend your last 3 months getting ready to transition out into real life.
Yeah, wow, that's a long time. I don't think I could have gone to a rehab for a year.
No, I think you could have.
If I had to, if I would have, yeah. But my wife found this place in, like I said, Newport. Because, like I said, when we got back from that vacation in Maine,
yeah,
first thing I did was start drinking.
Yeah.
Because it'd been at least 12 hours or whatever, how long it'd been since that.
Yeah.
And then my wife came out, and she's like, and it was like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm already four beers deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. Nothing worked. So I came out to where I always go and started drinking. And she comes out and says, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, babe? No, I don't think we need to talk. I think I need help.
Yeah. You had said to me, that seems like a long time. You couldn't have done it. You could have. Because here's what someone told me at that point, that critical point. And it took me a while for it to settle in, but they were right. They said, look, what's a year out of your life to just step back from reality and get yourself healthy and get yourself on the right path? And they were right. And it's not, you know what? It's not like I had a crystal ball and I could go years ahead and think, yeah, this is the right road to go. It was the only road that I had. But, you know.
But the financial side of it, wouldn't have worked out for me to go to a 9-month thing because we didn't have the jobs we have right now.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just so, you know, it's so expensive to live in San Diego.
Yeah, oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I chose where I needed, where I live. My wife's got a killer job now, so we're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Okay, let me ask you this. You hear some people say, maybe, I quit on my own, just like that. Now, that's not the easiest thing in the world, is it, right, to quit on your own? No.
God, no.
No.
Is what? It possible? I'm sure some people can.
Maybe. But why do you think it's almost impossible to quit on your own? Why do you think that we need others, like your support group that you have right now?
Because you are your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
I am my own worst enemy. I mean, like, we spoke before, and, like, I'm just beating myself up left and right, but I'm getting nothing but showered with love from everybody else. I'm the only one beating myself up.
That's true. And you know what? I was really impressed, Andy, by one of your friends that wrote in on the Facebook There Is a Way Out page, who said, hey, he actually thanked me. And he said, thank you. And boy, man, you don't need to thank me, but he thanked me for supporting you. And I'm like, heck yeah.
I've known Kenny. I met him when we were seniors. I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
I've known him since I was 18 years old. He's been my best friend forever.
How long's he been sober?
What's that?
How long has he been sober?
Oh, I want to say at least 22 years now.
Pretty mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah. And when I told him that I called him up when I was in rehab, and he's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had that. Finally.
Then again, he's also a counselor.
Yeah. Oh, good.
He's in the chemical dependency field.
Good for him.
I don't exactly know the terminology for it, but yeah, he's been doing this. He's a psychology major. He's got all that kind of good stuff. I have a perfect person I can lean on right now.
Hey, will you ask him if he'll be on my podcast?
I would love to.
Okay.
Because when I told him who I talked to, he's like, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh.
I've got 22 years of party. Nobody wants to talk to me. He's funny.
No, you know what? And listen, I'm honored that for the fact that you think I'm some sort of big shot. And I know that you thought that way because of all the years that you heard me on the DSC show in San Diego. And I so appreciate that. To all that reach out and say that to me, that's so cool. But I'm just like everyone else, man. I'm just trying to fight. I'm just trying to go through the daily deal of one day at a time. One day at a time.
24 hours. People always tell me, man, just give me 24 hours. That's all I'm asking.
And I literally...
24 hours. And you're going to sleep through 8 of it. So,
and, yeah.
16 hours.
You tell everybody exactly what it is when the moment comes when that little voice says, hey, Andy, seriously, you can deal with a couple. You've been sober for 4.5 years, dude. You can deal with a couple. You tell everybody what that is extremely like the second you drink your first. As a matter of fact, it's almost like you've relapsed when you're walking over to the store and you open up that counter and you grab it. You're done.
Oh, the choice is already made, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe the choice was made on my drive when I was driving out to Arizona.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, I'm alone.
Yeah.
Who's going to know?
You tell everybody that fine line that you're walking that is so fine and so easy to trip up. And once again, doesn't matter if it's been 40 years or 20 weeks.
Okay, this is going to sound kind of bizarre, but just grabbing the can, it scared me.
Yeah.
I was like, should I be doing this?
See? Isn't that something? Your mind
fights you. I don't need to do this. Yeah. I don't need to do this.
Your mind fights
you. But then that, like you said, that little dude on my shoulder was like, oh, come on.
Yeah. You know, and I've said this in every podcast, I have nightmares still, and I'm glad I do. I've had drinking nightmares, and I'm glad I do, of the moment that I relapse. And then I'm going around, and I'm lying to people in shame, and I'm like, I'm no longer 16 years sober. That was all BS, wasn't it? And I wake up, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad I had that dream. And people say, why do you still have dreams like that? And it's because your mind wants
They're
needed, and they want to keep your mind wants to keep you battle ready. I'm convinced on that.
Yeah. God, Ned, one of our counselors at rehab, he always said, stay ready. You ain't got to get ready.
Right. This is your first day sober now, Andy. What are you going to do? Because you had a drink last night. I know that you've probably expected this question, but what are you going to do from here on out?
I'm just going to go about my day. I've got a bunch of errands I got to run with my daughters, and we're going to go hang out as a family tonight. And
good.
You know, I'm just going to do my best to stay away from it today.
Yeah, but there's that voice,
I'm
Andy.
I'm not promising anything, but
there's that voice, though.
All I can promise you is I'm going to try.
There's that voice, though, Andy. Come on, just try me one
know.
More. One or two more.
I'm trying not to listen to it.
I know. You know, and then that's when you need to call your friend. What was your friend's name again?
Kenny.
That's when you need to call Kenny. And he knows it. And he knows you can call 24/7.
Kenny is the man.
And now you got my number. You can call me. And that's no BS. You can call me anytime you want.
This means the world to me, Broma. It really does.
Well, it means the world to me, and it means the world to others that they can hear what you're saying. Because, look, you're not the first one that's fighting this, and you're not the first one that feels rotten about yourself, and you're not the first one that thinks to yourself you don't deserve, you know, like you said earlier. You said you felt bad for that main speaker because all the attention went on you, right?
Yep.
Well, you know this.
I can't think that way.
See, well, I know that, but you know this program, and you know how powerful this program is, and you know how many people want to be there for you.
Correct. It's unreal, and the group of people that my group was,
yep,
the isolators, I mean, it's a bunch of L.A. type of people. I'm not going to name names because that's not my position.
No, right.
But I never knew, in a billion years, yep, I never thought I would know these people, much less have their phone number in my phone.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Yeah. I mean, these are like actor types, producers, but all them upper echelon kind of cats.
It doesn't matter what you do, Andy. You know that.
I found that out real quick.
Yeah,
buddy.
It doesn't matter what you do. And it doesn't matter how somebody appears so happy and free and like on top of things and confident. They're still fighting the same thing that all of us are, that urge.
Yep, we're all alcoholics.
That freaking urge.
Every time they say their name, they end it with, I'm an alcoholic. Like, I'm Joe Schmo and I'm an alcoholic. I'm Andy, and I'm an alcoholic,
exactly.
So we're the same. I don't care what your bank account says. We're the same right now.
Let me tell you a couple things, Andy, real quick, personally. You will, at one point down the road, you'll be with your dog again. My mom told me this years ago when somebody murdered my dog when I was 12 years old. I still have nightmares about that all the time. I still think to myself, what my mom sat down and told me, one day you'll be with all your loved ones and your dogs and pets and all that.
Yep.
Know that, okay?
Well, I got her tattooed on my leg, so she's never leaving me ever again.
All right, good. And listen, know this. Know this as well. You're in a brotherhood and a sisterhood that is so powerful that people want to be part of your life, and they will check on you. And I think it's just a great thing. If it keeps you sober and it keeps you happy and smiling, you deserve that.
I woke up to 7 texts already.
Good. Good.
And I usually, before this, I'd get a text from my wife. But now I'm getting texts from guys all over the place. All over the country, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, I'm going to send this podcast to you a little later on. I hope you share with others. I hope you listen to it.
I appreciate this,
Bryn. Of course. I hope you listen to it with pride. Like I said, I'm not the greatest at this at all. I'm just trying to let people hear.
Trust me, I was more nervous than you were.
Oh, listen, you're fine. You don't need to be nervous. Like I said from the start, it's not me. It's the strength of people who I have on. Do you understand how many people you might be helping with this podcast?
If I could help one person, honestly, if I could just help one person today, it was worth it.
Okay, real
quick. Even if that one person is me.
Real quick, what do you want to say to people who are battling that urge and who are going through that every single day or night? Hey, I can pride myself with one or two beers, two drinks. I can go out and do it. What do you want to say to people?
Call someone. I don't care what time of day it is. They will pick up the phone.
Yeah, they will.
They will absolutely pick up the phone. And if they don't pick up the phone, call somebody else.
Yep.
Somebody will eventually pick up that phone. If you have to call 100 people,
yep,
99 don't answer, one of them will. And that one person that does answer could save your life.
You're awesome, Andy. You hang on with me real quick, okay, brother?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Hey, hang on. That's how we do it. That's how I love to have people hear the stories of others. Everybody is different. Everybody has their way of dealing with this that we have to go through in our mind and our soul. For all of you who are on the fence, for anybody who has any family members and such, I'd be honored if you listen to There Is a Way Out.